Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Today, before we jump in, we'd love to, if you'd leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, those 5 stars do really help. We'd also like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shoe machine on the market. I'll get it out. Not only are they innovative, unbelievable how shooting machines have changed. You know, I remember when they used to have those long metal racks coming from the court. But how they've innovated, how they've put the trainers right in front of you, it's unbelievable. So go over and check it out. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. There's nothing else on the market like it. Nowhere else are you going to get the bat phone to the person running it. No, you know, yes, they might do quarterly or monthly or weekly calls, but they're not on your beck and call. If you have a question, if you have an email, trust me, I will get back to you. I will respond. I will get on a call with you that day. So come over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Let's head off to the podcast.
Listen, I'm fat because I eat Doritos. Okay. Right. That's why. Right. I make the choice to eat Doritos. I love them. Terrific.
Right. Right. I mean, that's what I don't get. It's like, yeah. So that's your choice as a parent to sign him up. That's your choice to decide that that's more important than I'm not telling you, you have to do that, but like, taking over a program too, you got to draw that in the sand too. That's a line in the sand, man. Cause if that kid all of a sudden does that, everybody from ever is going to know, well, this kid got to do it.
Well, so we're not going to talk for 2:38, but I love telling stories. So, I actually cut a kid, a senior, and then we had a hole to do and he got put back on the team. And I fell on the sword for that one. When this whole thing went down, I said, listen, just put the kid back on the team. We don't need to.
Right.
So that was the first week of practice. This happened like the third week of practice. And when it happened, and then we, the kid decided I'm going to play soccer. The AD came in the next morning to practice and he said, hey, what's the deal with, you know, the kid? And I said, you know, he said, like, the mom called me. I said, yeah. And I told him. And he's like, he had my back, but, you know, he's playing the AD side.
Right.
Like,
listen, yep. I understand. I get it. Yeah.
But I said to him, I said, listen, I got to have some control over the program. You know, I got to have some say in it. Some. A little.
Right. 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 And what did he say to that? Like,
he was on board with it.
I think you got to spell it out and hand it out to the parents and the kids at the beginning of the year and say, sign this.
Here I didn't get the job till September, and there was a lot of
so that's what I think in the offseason you got to think about, because I have like an expectations team and program expectations. Some people give kids passes. I don't even give them passes. Like, some coaches will say you get 3 missed practices passes. They can't be a day before a game. Are you kidding me? There's no way you're missing a practice. But
so at this other school that I worked, we had a very good program. Me and the head coach ran the AAU in the spring, and we had these kids from sixth grade on. It's a small group one school here, single A school, but very successful in the state. And we had a kid who was a great kid, really good player. And his eighth grade year, his mother and father came to me and the head coach and said, listen, next winter break, when he's in ninth grade, when Jackson, a freshman, he said, we are going to Ireland to see my wife's grandmother for the last time. She's dying. You know, she lives in Ireland. But they said, we're coming to you now. We said, absolutely. We said, but Jack's going to miss two games in that time.
Right.
So he's going to be suspended for the next two games when he comes back. And the parents could, they were like, absolutely, I get it. We just wanted to let you know beforehand.
Right.
So Jack missed four games that year. The two that he was away, and then he was suspended for two.
Here's your action. Here's your consequence. As a parent, I would be like, I just letting you know, I totally get it. We wouldn't do this, but grandma's dying, and we need to see grandma.
Right, but that's why they were totally fine with it, because they understood the expectation. And
that will come with time as you're around longer, Coach.
But like I said, I had to establish.
You have to draw that line in the sand. Let's go back to that practice. So I'm just looking. So everything till six is this? Yeah, everything 6:30. Till six is the same thing.
Yep. Okay. Same thing, you know, a little bit, two times each. We know what the drill is now.
Okay.
Then we go to a thing called perfect possession. And this is a defensive drill. Let me see if I can explain this. Buddy of mine is the strength and conditioning coach at Xavier.
Okay.
And he always sends me drills, sends me things. When we talk, he gives me some things to do. So this is – we're working on defense. So you put your five out there on defense. You put 45 seconds on the clock. Okay? Offense gets the ball. They start. You hit the clock. The clock's counting down. You just play one possession. If the offense scores, if the offense gets an offensive rebound, or if it goes out of bounds off the defense, so the offense retains possession, any one of those three things happen, the whistle blows, the possession's over, the clock goes back to 45 seconds.
Ah.
If the defense gets a stop and a defensive rebound, obviously, or a steal, or the ball goes out of bounds on the offense, so the defense retains possession, the clock stops where it is. Say it stops at 32 seconds.
Okay.
Okay, that possession was 13 seconds long. It stops at 32 seconds. The offense gets another possession. Defense gets a stop at 20 seconds. The clock stops at 20 seconds. Offense gets another possession. If at 8 seconds the offense gets an offensive rebound, possession stops, clock goes back to 45 seconds.
I love that drill.
So you got to get to zero to get off.
That's brutal. That's like war.
Yeah.
That's like fisticuffs in our practice. That would be like, yeah. Oh, I love that drill. I love that drill. Okay. Yeah. That's like Game of Thrones, man. You better
get into that. Right? But again, that's building that toughness.
It is. Yes. I love that.
You know, and it's what Xavier does it for is they have a thing. I forget if it's battles or wars. And my buddy who's a strength coach actually keeps track of it on the bench. If they get three stops in a row, that's a battle. They won a battle. And they figured out they have to win 11 battles in a game to win a game on the college level.
I've never heard it. So we chart that. Like I'll change. If someone scores on me three times or does something, then I'll change. But I love – he's saying if they stop someone three times, it's three battles. They need 11 battles to win.
Yeah.
I love that. That in a college game, I bet it's like eight battles. If you win eight battles,
right, what you can do is go back and watch film of a game and kind of, again, you're a math guy. So
yeah, like, I love that because it is the game is little pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Like we play stop, score, stop, or stop, score, stop, score, where it's just like I can't even tell you how many times I come in and the game's close at the end. I go, guys, all you need is a stop, a score, and a stop, and we got this thing.
Yep.
Like, and we've done it in practice. They kind of know what that feels like. But I love that perfect possession. I love that.
So the perfect possession is working on getting three stops in a row. Basically, they're saying in 45 seconds, it should be about three stops for them, again, in a college game.
Okay. Perfect.
So it's working on something that they're directly charting.
So you know, the battles they're talking about is just getting three straight stops.
Three straight stops is a battle.
Okay. And they've got to get 11 at the collegiate level. So I'm guessing I'm gonna figure out what it is for the high school level.
Right. Again, it's going to be adjusted by the number of sort of the average number.
What do you play in your state, quarters or halves?
Quarters.
And how long are your quarters?
8 minutes.
Yeah, we play 18-minute halves.
Okay.
It's awesome.
You like it?
Oh, I do. Do you have a shot clock?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
No.
I was quoted in an article this year about it. I took a lot of heat. I'm not a shot clock advocate.
I'm not either. Oh, my God. I found somebody else. I think it's the dumbest thing ever. Like, I don't think we need a shot clock. Why do we need a shot clock? What's it going to do to the high school game?
That's what I said. This reporter that I know was talking to me, and then when the article came out, a bunch of people, I go, does it markedly improve the game? Just because there are more points doesn't mean it's a better basketball game.
Right.
And three, could you imagine the crappy shots that some high school kids would take if they have to take a shot every 20 seconds?
That's my biggest thing. Like,
they take awful shots.
I've coached guys that have played in the NBA. I've coached like 60 collegiate guys. Most of the time the shot clock comes down, my guys are going to be able to create a decent shot. You get to schools of 123 kids and you're that's what I'm saying. But then they're going to be horrible shots taken. My fourth one, you want a fourth one? Running a shot clock is not easy. And it's not easy. These officials are accountants and teachers and stuff during the day. How do they know if it touched the rim? There's that instant replay in a high school gym on a Tuesday night in January.
Installing all of it, training people, having quality people do it. Yeah. Well,
it's not going to happen now. The world we're living in now, no one's putting shot clocks up. Are you kidding me? So that's dead. That's dead in the water. Thank God.
Yeah, I am not a shot clock advocate.
I am not either. There's not many of us, but we can have a shot no shot clock party. Okay. Shooting stations.
So, yeah, shooting stations, we're going to do it's just a traditional five-spot shooting on one side.
I'm telling you, I've talked to enough coaches about I don't get enough shots up. That's one of my kryptonites in practice. I have to work on getting more shots up for my guys. I don't.
And one of the things I always say to my assistants is they shoot enough on their own. Like, that's all they do when they're by themselves.
Yeah, but they don't during the season. And it's like putting. When you don't do it, you lose it. That's the problem. From a former shooter, and a shooter lives in this house, when either one of us don't shoot for a while, we notice it. That's why, and it gets lost in practice planning, I think, especially late in the season. And I'm guilty of it. I'm so guilty of it.
Yeah, I am. And my one assistant yells at me all the time.
Yeah, there's part of him that's right about it too. It's like if you don't shoot, you can lose that skill. You're not going to be as effective.
Right. So we're doing five-spot shooting on one side. On the other side, we're doing finishing, you know, where they're driving in. We're hitting them with pads.
Good, yeah. I love that drill. Yep.
And the one thing I do is I have, like, a full-length football pad, and I tell them if I put it straight up over my head, you got a pump fake, and then I'll bring it down and finish through the contact.
Okay.
You know, and some of them will dribble in, jump stop. I'll throw it straight up in the air, and they'll throw it right off the pad. And you're just like, come on, guys. Did you not see the pad? Like, did you think it was going
to
go through?
They don't. They have their mind made up. That's why they run over three people to get to the basket.
The whole thing, right? Jump stop and read what happens.
You get a call when you're under control. The official will give you the benefit of the doubt if you're under control. If you look out of control, they're not going to give you the call.
Never. And then so now we're into the season. We're into games. So – we're going to work on specifics of what's coming up. I think this was a Thursday practice. Yeah, Thursday 1-2, and we were at Woodridge on Friday 1-3.
Okay.
So we're going to work now, the last hour, we're going to work on what we're going to see in that game.
Yeah, and that's what I tell coaches too. It's like you got to – let's say having a two-hour practice is probably long for end of the season, but let's say you have a two-hour – you got to chunk out that – 25, 30 minutes to worry about your opponent. And we map it out. Like if we're playing on a Thursday, Monday will be about us. Tuesday will be about us and them. Wednesday right. will be more about them. You know, you got to kind of decipher it, but I like that. Yeah.
So, right. So for this particular team, our one and our two defense was a box and one, a triangle and two, because they had some good individual players. So we were going to throw a little junk defense at them. They play a 2-3 zone, so we were going to work on our zone offenses.
Okay.
Actually, I want to show you. This was one we sort of invented on the fly. I don't know if anyone's – I'm sure someone's done something like this. But we were just trying to, you know, come up with something so we could get a
shot. I tell people – that'd be great. Let me see it. I tell coaches, too, if you need to work on something, invent something. Like, shoot, I can't tell you the number of drills that I just came up with because we needed to work on X. So I figured a way to work on X. Like,
well, this was an offense where we were just trying to.
I don't know. It's internet. I'm telling you, the world is on the internet right now. I'm surprised the internet hasn't broken.
That's very true. Yeah.
there's like half the world is on the internet right now.
Yeah, on a Friday night, everybody's zooming.
Everyone's watching Netflix or whatever they're doing. Yeah.
So we called this. Our best player was our point guard too.
Okay.
So we called this, I don't know, four over or something, or four across, who the hell knows, whatever, you know, name it Purple Monkey Dishwasher.
Yeah, bingo. Yeah.
Yeah. So he would enter the ball to a wing. Now the ball's on the wing, and yeah, this guy, the ball side elbow would dive to the corner, the opposite elbow would dive to the block.
Okay.
So the wing guy would immediately throw it to the corner. And when he did that, the point guard would flash right into here. And you would be surprised how many times we could throw it to our point guard right here. And now he's either got a shot or a dump down to the.
I love that. We run a lot off of that. We call that kind of our chair set because it looks like a chair. It looks like a chair. And then we'll reverse it with the one will come set a screen for the guy that has the ball. And then he'll go off that screen, go to the corner, and then the big X.
Okay.
So it's kind of a continuity offense, but I love that. Yeah, I think that chair, you know, low block, high block, wing, corner, and then someone opposite. I call it a chair set because it looks like a chair a little bit.
Right. We would tell that opposite wing guy to find the opening on that low wing, high wing. Because once we got it to our point guard here, right, he's
got space. He's
got space.
Yeah.
Because what happens is the X is here, the other X is here, the X big is here.
Right. He didn't give it a layup up. Yeah.
Right. This X, this other high X, is he's here, but he's not looking at the point guard.
Right.
Most of the time, teams are trying to skip the ball.
Right.
So when he would dive in there, this guy would just be, you know, again, we would run it maybe one time here. One time in the second quarter, you know, it's not something we would run over and over again. I wanted to, on the practice plan, I wanted to, on both of them. And then the end of practice, we do the same thing every day called close out shooting.
Okay.
Okay. End of every practice all year. I've ended every practice like this for probably 7 years in a row.
Okay.
On every level. I think I got it from, like, I was watching a Michigan State shooting drill or something. I don't know. And then I kind of, like you said, I kind of modified it.
Yeah. Modified for, first of all, the number of baskets you have to modify for your guys. That's right. What I tell people. It's like, you got to like read your personnel a little bit.
So each line has a ball. Okay. We're going to go for 4 minutes. All right.
Yep.
And this line's going to shoot a three.
Yep.
He's going to go get his own rebound and pass it to the next guy in this line. This guy's shooting. So they're all shooting at the same time.
Yep.
And so this line is shooting, going, getting a rebound, pass to the next guy in this line, then he goes and fills in. Then, you know, so they rotate. So this line shoots and passes to this line. Now,
couple things. You can get a lot of shots up doing this.
So we have a goal that they have to make in 4 minutes. The beginning of the season, I tell them 35.
Okay.
That takes a lot. I had a freshman team that was awesome 1 year, years ago at the other school that I coached at. We got 81 in 4 minutes one time as a freshman team.
See, we do this as our warm-up drill for shooting before a game, but we do four lines.
Okay.
Because I hate when people just stand there and just shoot and stuff, and this is like – so we'll put a corner, corner, wing, wing.
Right.
And we'll do four lines, and this is one of our shooting drills to start when we come out and do our warm-up. And it's boom, 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 boom. You can get a lot of shots up fast. Yep.
And what we do here, the added things is I like it because I say it works on everything. So when you shoot and you get your rebound and pass it here, the one thing we do is you have to close out.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
So the closeout shooting is a double entendre. It's closing out practice, but we're also work. So you pass it, you close out. Break down and close out. Sometimes if you're a lot taller than the guy, maybe that's shooting. I'll tell him to just close out to the side.
Right.
Let him get the shot off. We're not trying to block our own guy's shot.
Right. Not, yeah. You know,
we want to work on the acts of closing out.
Right.
So, and then also communicating because the balls start bouncing around. So you got to communicate. If you're getting a pass from Paul, you got to say, Paul, I'm open. So you're getting down, waiting for a pass. You know what I mean? You're down in a shooting position. The passer's got to throw a good pass. Great passes make great shots.
Yes.
You're closing out. You're going after the ball and hustling. You're working as a team because the team has a goal to get.
Right.
If we don't get the goal, a down and back, and we go again.
I love that. And you do that every day?
Every day. And the total will increase throughout the year once they hit it. The next day it'll be 38. And then usually this year, I think we got to 55 was our goal pretty much consistently.
Okay. So if you could only do three things at practice, what would you do?
If I could only do three things at practice, I would dive after loose balls, rebound, and close out shooting. That's what I would do.
Okay. Those are the skills that you are, you have to do those.
Yep.
So how do you practice plan? Now that we've seen a couple of them, like, how do you do this? Do you, like, obviously you're consistent in your first 45, but how do you do this? Do you map out a week? Do you do it when you come home? Do you do it after practice? Do you do it in the morning? How do you
practice? I usually do it in the morning. Well, we practice every day. Again, if you look at the practice plans, we practice every day from 5:45 to 8 at our school. The girls practice early. I can't get to my school, so it just works out easier.
Okay.
So I'll evaluate kind of, because I'm getting home at 8 o'clock and then, you know, have some dinner or whatever, I'll think about it and sleep on it. And then the next morning I'll figure it out. And in the preseason, we tried to lay out, you know, all the things we needed to add in. Like, you know, we need to start talking about, you know, man defense, help defense concepts. So by the third day, we should start putting that in. By the fifth day, we should start with our motion offense, you know, our fifth set, which is our 4-round-1 motion. And then, you know, by the eighth day, we should have an out-of-bounds play in, you know, building up to that first game to make sure that, again, we were starting completely from scratch this year. So
it's
trying to, yeah.
You're building. All right, so let me ask a couple questions that don't have to do with practice planning that I always love to ask. Is there one coaching moment we could dive into, like a success, a failure, something that a listener would get something out, a golden nugget? I refer to them as golden nuggets, but, you know, is there one coaching moment you can dive into that our audience might learn from or something?
It actually comes from the parent I was telling you about that went to Ireland with that young man. And when I was applying for jobs, I had reached out to the father to write me. I wanted recommendations from kids that played for me, people that I worked with, and parents of kids that I coached.
Right.
And what he had said to me was really interesting because his son's team was a good team. They weren't a great team. 2 years before, I had a great team that was really an up and down team. And his son's team was definitely a decidedly more slow down team. We really didn't have a ball handler. So his son, who was our 6'4" center, actually handled the ball a lot.
Okay.
And I initiated the offense with him just because he was really smart. So he could get us into everything. And one of the great things he wrote in this letter, I've got it somewhere. He said, you know, one of Coach de Blasio's greatest attributes is that he doesn't get stuck in his ways, and he formulates his coaching around the team and talent that he has. And I think that's so important for high school coaches.
I do.
Because we're not getting – I'm just getting what I'm getting. I'm getting who shows up to the gym.
Right.
You know, and listen, there are a ton of things I wanted to do this year that we didn't do because we just couldn't do them.
I love that. I was listening to a podcast, you know, when I think it was Apollo 11, where they had all the stuff in the capsule and they had to figure out how to use all that stuff to get them home.
Right.
Somebody just did that with ventilators. They literally went to Home Depot, figured out everything they needed at Home Depot, took it home, and then figured out a way to make ventilators.
How to make a ventilator.
From the stuff you could get at Home Depot. Like, it's problem solving. It's I love that. It's so if you could describe your coaching philosophy, how would you describe your coaching philosophy?
Overall, I think, and if you listen to my podcast, we talk a lot about this. My friends are much in this, but I am too, is what is our mission? Is our mission to be an extension of the classroom and the education of the young men that we have? Or is our mission to win basketball games?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Winnings. We all want to win games.
Right.
I had a great friend of mine who was a college coach. Now he works with the LA Clippers Community Outreach Program. He said to me, why are you coaching? Are you coaching to win games? Because if you are, you'll never be satisfied because nobody's ever won all the games.
Right. John Wooden didn't win all his games.
He didn't win all the games.
Coach K almost got his ass fired after about three.
Yeah. He says, my coaching philosophy is that I'm an extension of the educational mission of the school.
Right.
And that is to create well-rounded individuals who become active citizens in the country that we live in.
Right.
And become good people. And that goes back to some of these things we talked about.
Well, that's what I say too. It's like, I want you, if you're going to be a parent, I want you to be a good father someday. I want you to be a good husband someday. I want you to be a good citizen someday. I want you to come up with the solution for COVID-19. That's what I want. The basketball games, you're going to remember literally every time I fill the surveys out with my players, they remember the times more than they remember. Like if you win a state championship, whatever, they win that. Yeah. They remember that stuff, but they remember the hotel room or the bus trip, or those are the things that they laugh about, 20 years later.
The year I had the really good freshman team, we lost in, now again, this is somewhat foreign when I talk to people from other states. We have 64 high schools in our county.
In your county?
In our county.
That's a lot.
64 high school. Yeah. Okay. So we have a freshman county tournament. And again, I was at a small group one, single A school, one of the small schools in the county. And we were undefeated and played in the county championship game. And we lost to one of the Catholic schools that, recruits kids. And that was our only loss of the season. And it came right after the Giants had won the second Super Bowl against the Patriots, 2011, 2012.
Okay.
And I heard Eli Manning on the radio the day before the championship game, and he said, they said, what are you going to take from the season? He said, I'm not going to remember the games. I'm going to remember the times in the hotel with the team and the pranks we played on each other in the locker room. And that's what I said to a reporter after the game. I said, that's what these kids are going to remember. Fine, we lost the championship game. That's great. Terrific. It wasn't in the cards for us to win. That's fine. But they're going to remember everything else.
Right.
One of the young men from that team 2 years ago, it'll be 2 years of September, died in a car accident, 21 years old. And the day it happened, I went over to the house where a bunch of the kids were congregating and some of the parents. And we didn't talk about a single game. They talked about the crazy stuff I said to them in practice and yelling at them in the locker room. But we didn't talk about the physical games, and this was only 5-6 years later.
So here's what I do when I speak at clinics and stuff, and I talk about relationships and all that. I said, take 30 seconds right now in your head and picture the best coach you've ever had. Okay, so then I give him 30 seconds. And then I say, to the person next to you, describe that coach. Describe that great coach that you had. And I give him like 10 seconds to go do that. And then I said, I bet every one of you, when you did that, weren't describing X's and O's. You weren't describing how they ran their man offense. You were describing how they made you feel and the relationship you had with them. It wasn't like coach ran the best man offense, like, oh, because that's not what you remember. Like, you know, you remember how they made you feel, what it was like, you know, all those kind of things. So that's what it's like. I think you're right. It's we're building citizens, basically. We're building good people, hopefully.
And that's what I think. And I think that goes back to this kid that with the soccer thing. 10 years from now, I think he's going to look back at that as a positive, you know, when he grows up.
He will. And the thing is here, every kid I've cut, most of the kids I've cut have realized why I've cut them, most of them. Mm-hmm. or the hard discussions I've had to have of why you're not playing later. Sometimes it takes 5 years for some of them. Sometimes it takes 15. There's still a handful that have still will never get it. I'm just the worst coach ever. But most of them eventually realize that, you know, this is the way it is, blah, blah, blah. You know, I needed to learn that lesson, you know, and they move on.
I threw a kid out of a freshman practice my first year I was coaching freshmen. And there were a couple kids that came from another town, which is about 4 or 5 miles away. And it's the dead of winter in New Jersey, like Wisconsin. It's very cold. And I threw this kid, Tristan, out of practice. I don't remember why, but I did. And he had to walk home to the other town because his parents weren't around to come pick him up. And their senior year, the one kid who I have a great relationship with to this day, he wrote me a letter. And one of the things that he said, when you threw Tristan out of that practice freshman year, I didn't understand why. But now I understand.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. My dad made me do that from the Little League field when I was a kid. I remember that.
Was he Press Maravich?
He's like, go home. All right, so I'm going to do rapid fire with you right now. Usually I'm going to ask you a question, and usually these are relatively short responses, but some of them are familiar. All right, what's your favorite brand of basketball, the actual ball you play with?
Can we curse on this podcast?
I don't want to, no. I'm going to say no so I don't have to do the bad ratings on iTunes.
I don't give a rip.
Okay.
If you can shoot, it goes in the hoop no matter what basketball it is. It ain't the basketball.
You don't have a favorite era. One? You don't have a feel one?
I don't
one?
Care.
You weren't a shooter. I'm going to go on record. Coach was not a shooter.
I wasn't.
Shooters have a feel. Okay, so here's my
theory. You know what I did? I dove on the floor for loose balls and I got rebounds.
So here's what I tell all the high school coaches out there. Use the ball that they're using in the most important game of the year, which is the state championship game. Right. Whatever ball that is, use that one all year. If it doesn't matter, use that ball. Because hopefully you're playing in the state championship and they're using a Spalding or a Bodden or whatever.
They wouldn't have let us buy tickets to the state championship game this year.
One word to describe your ideal player.
Tough.
Okay. One sporting event in the entire world, what would you go to and why?
The British Open 150th anniversary at St. Andrews in 2 years.
Are you going?
Because it's the British Open and it's at St. Andrews.
I've walked St. Andrews with my wife.
Oh,
unbelievable. I've walked across the bridge, the little bridge.
Smoking bridge.
I've walked across it. Yeah, Sundays it's open to people.
Yeah.
It's like people.
A buddy of mine's been there, yeah. And
people picnic. My handicap's not good enough to golf there, so.
No, I would just picnic. That's fine.
It's awesome.
St. Andrews is terrific.
It's one of those places, and I used to golf a lot more before I took coaching up, but I used to golf. It's one of those places you can just feel it. Like, you know what I mean? You can, like.
I've been to Augusta. Have you been to Augusta?
I have not been to Augusta.
I've been to the Masters 4 times. And it's right. You literally, when you walk into Augusta's property, you talk quieter. You genuflect. Like, it's just like.
How is that to watch it?
It's unbelievable.
And where did you stay? In Atlanta?
I'm sorry. When I went there, I lived in Columbia, South Carolina, only an hour away.
Easy then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's no place to stay there from what I hear.
No. Well, I have an uncle that lives there. That's how I got the tickets. And then one time my dad flew down. One time my brother flew down.
Okay.
We went and but yes, much like St. Andrews.
Yeah, it is. Favorite pregame meal? Doritos?
peanut butter and jelly sandwich I eat every day for lunch.
Oh, I wish I could. My son's allergic to peanuts. I miss
peanut butter. It's the easiest thing to make at 6 a.m. before you go to school.
I miss peanut butter. One skill not being taught in today's game.
The rules of the game.
And what do you mean by that?
Kids don't know the rules because kids only watch highlights.
It's true. That is true.
Any sport. Kids don't know the rules of the game.
They watch highlights of – my son's 18. He's going to a little Ivy school. He's a really bright kid. I go downstairs. He's watching a YouTube channel of a kid playing a video game. I go, first of all, why don't you at least play the game? Or you're watching someone play the game and then talk about it. It's like, I don't know. I sound like, get off my porch. Get off my porch.
Like, get off my lawn. Old man yells at cloud.
Yes. It's
like, Jesus. I'm not even that. I'm only 42 and my friends already say that to me.
One thing you do to relax.
One thing I do to relax is stand-up comedy.
Does that relax you?
It absolutely does. I don't get nervous. I love just being on stage and telling jokes. And if people laugh, they laugh. If they don't, they don't.
How do you feel about your set right now?
I'm working on new stuff. Because I don't do it during basketball season. It's okay. Kind of like a hiatus. It's like a 3-month hiatus, which is nice. Kind of breaks it up. So I just kind of write throughout the winter. And then when I emerge again in March to the comedy scene, it's all new material. So
I tell people it's a little bit of a math problem because once you get a joke to work, it's always going to work.
Yeah. My biggest thing is I always say this, I like to make my audience feel uncomfortable a little bit. I like 25% of the audience to not get the joke because then the other 75% laugh at the joke and laugh at the 25% of the people not getting it.
Okay, that'd be interesting.
So I have like a lot of obscure references and a lot of them are thinkers, not like deep, deep thinkers, but like, I'll tell you one of my best closing jokes that I use. And again, if you don't get the reference, I'm going to ask you before the joke, do you know who Kate Spade is?
Yeah. Kate Spade is, my wife has a Kate Spade purse.
Right. Do you know what happened to Kate Spade?
She committed suicide, I believe.
Right. She hung herself.
Yes. Okay.
So I do one-liners is my big thing that I've really gotten into. And so she was from New York, so around here, this joke really works really well. I say, I was reading on the internet the other day that the Kate Spade line is coming out with a new line of handbags. They hang themselves.
Okay.
Sometimes I get groans, and I'll walk off. I'll hear the groans and go, yep, thank you, I'm out of here. Perfect.
Not the most PC one, but yes, yeah. See, but you're right. That's pretty narrow. That like I probably put myself in the 75% of who knows who she is and then how she died. It's probably 10% of the population actually knows how she died.
Right. And you say, I had a producer tell me this last August with jokes and other jokes like that. You said it's not the most PC joke, but he said what you do. He goes, you take the audience to the edge. And then they're saying the punchline in their head. He goes, so you're actually putting it on the audience. I didn't say anything about.
Right.
Right.
Right. I love that. That's good. And how long is your set? Like 10, 15 minutes?
Oh, I mean, if I really had to, I could do 25 to 30 minutes.
You could.
Of really good stuff.
And then you just keep doing the same stuff?
Well, like last summer I did. And then, you know, it's like kind of seasonal.
And then you throw out some and put new ones in?
Yeah, I have about 5 new minutes right now that I'm working on.
Okay. Because I tell my math students, it's like a math thing. Like,
yeah,
if you get 15 minutes, you can ride that 15 minutes forever. And then you just throw in new ones. And if they bomb three times.
But also math-wise, it's also sequencing, which is, you know, obviously mathematics.
Right,
how you sequence the jokes.
It's the flow. It's it is. There's definitely a flow to it.
And especially with the one-liners, it's really a puzzle piece. You know, it's really a puzzle that you have to.
It's Carrot Top, man. I'm telling you. It's like, have you ever seen him in person? I know he's not like in the comic world, but it is literally machine gun. He keeps pulling props out and the thing about him is why he's underappreciated is they're all like if he was doing it right now, it'd all be about COVID-19. Like,
right.
He's got some ones that I've always seen when he does it, but he's always pulling out jokes. And it's like, oh, that one didn't work. You know, it's like,
yeah,
he is pretty funny in person. I was more like observational Seinfeldish. Mm-hmm. More like what it was like to be a teacher, because being a teacher ain't in a high school.
I don't have a lot of teacher stuff. People always ask me that. I don't like.
But you're not in a high school.
I was. I have been in high
school. High schools are funny, man. I'm telling you, it is like I walk into one of my classes. I go, I could do 10 minutes on this class because now I'd have to change the names to protect the innocent.
You got to protect the innocent.
You guys are like seriously, like John over here, I could make fun of you for 5 minutes. Are you kidding? There's 5 minutes worth of material. Like, look at how you're dressed. You're dressed like my grandma. You know, what the hell? It's like, I mean, that's what they don't get. It's like, that's what, it was very observational. High school's fun. If you listen, that's the key, is to listen.
Yes.
They like, oh my God, it is Mean Girls 10 times 20. It's like, the girls will eat each other. Swear to God. I mean, they are crazy at that, at that age.
I was in an all-girls high school for 2.5 years.
So how much do you drink at night?
A lot.
I mean, I can't imagine. Oh, my God. You know, Bobby Knight says the best coaching job's at an orphanage. So it's true.
It's true.
Don't have the parents. One coaching technique you consider important.
The relationships you have with your kids.
I'm telling you, it's an underlying. People don't – it's not about X's and O's, people. It isn't. Talk about.
I always say this: you can yell at any kid on your team if he knows you care about him.
Yep. If he knows you, he knows you
truly care about him.
Yep. And that's—I'm telling you, I've been talking to coaches for the last 2 weeks. That is the biggest part I'm missing right now. Is I'm not sure I'm going to have that connection next year because I'm not spending that time with them right now when it's out of season. Like, I think my core is good because we spent so much time together. But it's like they got to know you got their back. Mm-hmm. And then when you're coming, it's like parenting. It's no different than parenting. It's like,
for me, this was such an important off season. This is gonna be my first full off season with this group, and it's just, yeah. You know, I mean, I can't, nothing I can do about it. But
I know it's best basketball player you've seen in person.
I've seen them all. Fortunately, I've seen LeBron James play. I saw Steph Curry play when he was at Davidson. I saw LeBron James in the Cavs. I saw Kobe Bryant. I've seen Michael Jordan. I've seen Larry Bird. I've seen Magic Johnson. And I never saw Kareem.
Or Bill Russell, probably.
Or Bill Russell. But my favorite basketball player of all time, or I think it's the best basketball player of all time, is Irvin Magic Johnson. So I'll say
Magic. And here's I'm biased because Wesley's on the Bucks right now, but I think there's pieces of Giannis that remind me of Magic. He's not there yet. He's only 23 or 24. But his work ethic, his skill, the way he sees the court, how he wants to win. There's some, I mean, he could be in that category at some
point. Yeah. Magic was special.
Yeah. I mean, Wisconsin's basically going to give it with Giannis the state so he can have Wisconsin if you stay. Here you go.
Yeah.
Take the state capital. You just stay. Favorite, no, I'm not going to do that one. One thing that helped you become a better coach.
Going to watch other coaches practice.
And what do you get from that?
You just get ideas. You see how they structure things. I mean, yeah, you can get some technical drills, but you just see how they operate their practice. Like you said, do they coach in the middle of the floor? What do their assistant coaches do? I'm lucky there's a Division III school here that's pretty good, Ramapo College. And I've worked their camps for the last 10 summers, and I've become really close with the coach. And I go up there 3 or 4 times a year to watch practice. You know, and again, like I said, you can take something technical from it, but it's more taking how each person operates practice.
Yeah. And I tell people, just take a piece.
To go back to my resume, and I think I wrote it on the doc I sent you, you know, I watched Tubby Smith practice every day for a year. Eddie Fogler practice every day for a year. Dave Odom practice every day for 7 years. Darren Horn practice every day for a year. I think I wrote it on there. That's almost 1500 wins in college basketball.
Right.
So, you know, no better teaching tool than that.
Right. And then, but you got to be you. Like, you got to be you. Like, you run in your practice. What we just went over for the last hour is you. That's your practice. That's what you do. That's why I want to, I'm doing this just so people can see this is not PC either, but there's more than one way of skinning a cat. Like, there's more than one way of doing something. They can all work. Best game you've seen in person?
Best game of any sport or basketball?
Any sport. Any best game you've seen?
Well, a little bit of personal reason. University of Virginia beating Florida State for their first ACC loss in football in 1995. My best friend was playing at UVA at the time.
Okay.
And Florida State had joined the ACC and run through the league for 5 years. But I was also at the Kansas-Memphis National Championship game.
Ooh. Yeah, I put my Virginia game last year. At least a semis, probably. I mean, that NCAA, we went to that. I took my son to that. But
Wow.
That was a great – Tony's just – Virginia's just – yeah.
Anyway. Every day I want to coach more like Tony Bennett.
I know. I love
And him. I don't think I can coach 1,000 men like Tony Bennett.
He just thinks – yeah. He's like his father. He's just – it's genetic. What's your favorite quote? I think I have it here, but –
yeah, a life is not important except in the impact it has on others' lives. Jackie Robinson, who hangs in my living room right over here with that quote.
I love that. One word to describe your coaching style. Quiet. I'm going to say quiet.
Quiet.
I'm just kidding. Pause. You can't. Dead silence on podcasts are bad. I had to fill it.
Yeah, sorry. No, quiet. I know. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We were just talking about that today, my brother and I.
It's like, you can't have that silence or I'm going to have to edit it out. It's okay.
Experimental.
Ooh, I like that. And why do you say experimental?
Because I'm always willing to try new things.
I think that's important. I mean, that's important in life, too. Best basketball coach of all time.
Best basketball coach of all time. It's hard not to say Mike Krzyzewski.
Yep. I would put him in that category.
He's in the discussion. There's no way he's not in the discussion.
He's in the discussion. I think it's one of those things you could have a podcast about just that, I think. One book you'd recommend.
My Losing Season by Pat Conroy.
I have that on my bookshelf behind me.
Yeah, it's one of the best books ever written. It's definitely the best book written for sports and for coaches and for athletes. I would love to get to a point, again, there's some wacky things. I'd love to get to a point where my team practices in the morning before school. That's what I would love to get to a point where I have enough cachet to do that. I would also love to get to a point where throughout the season we could read a book together as a team.
And why would you want to do practice before?
I think the initial first week would be tough, but I think you would have kids' attention much better in the morning before school. I think they would perform better in school. Because they'd be up, they'd be awake, they would have just exercised for 2 hours.
You don't think they'll be tired?
No, I think they would just adjust to it. And, you know, once you have a kid as a freshman, he would know sophomore year, he's got to start going to bed earlier. And you tell them, listen, you come in, we practice for 2 hours hard in the morning, you go to school, and at 3 o'clock, you go home.
Right.
You don't worry about anything else.
I love that. Yeah. I'm going to have to think about that. I mean, we've done it. I just haven't done it consistently because it seems like they're dragging sometimes. And it's like, oh, by seventh hour, I'm trying to, like, get them moving. What's one thing you tell a young coach or your young self, either way?
Just be flexible. Yeah. Be adaptable.
Okay. Is there one specific thing that helped you become a better coach?
You know, I think one skill that helps us become better at anything we do, I think not just the specific things that you and I have, we're both teachers, we're both coaches, you're a parent, I'm not a parent, but listening. I think listening is a skill that can improve everything in your life.
I do too. All right, so one parting word for the podcast listeners, Coach, other than the two of us are long-winded.
As Jesse Ventura famously said, win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat. No, that's not.
Go find the 6'11 kid that lives in New York City or something. I don't know. There's probably some good playgrounds. And if you're 5 minutes from New York, there's got to be some players.
Yeah, there are. They don't go to my school. I'm sure. You know what? With all this stuff out there, I'm not just saying it because I'm on this, but with all these, you know, podcasts and videos, and again, don't be afraid to go listen to these things. Go watch videos. Go, you know, see how a coach does this. See how a coach does that. You know, like you said, there's more than one. None of us have this mastered.
No, nobody has it mastered. What I tell people too is, like, I've almost been overwhelmed with all the free clinics and all the free stuff that I've been watching. It's overwhelming to me. And I've been coaching for 30 years. So what you have to do is, so what I've gone down to is, like, I'm not going to watch more than one thing a day. I'm going to pick something I think I need to focus on, because otherwise I'm like, I'm grabbing all this stuff and it's like, it's all this noise. It's like, I got to get through all the noise and just kind of like work on that, work on this, work on that, read a book.
Don't think you know everything.
Yeah, you'll never
know. That's big with young coaches.
I obviously knew more in my 20s than I do in my 50s. I mean,
clearly
up here, I definitely thought I did. I don't know anything now. Mm-hmm. It feels like. But all right, thank you, Coach.
Hey everybody, hope you enjoyed that. If you want to support us, you want to help us keep the lights on here at teachhoops.com, go over, join 14-day free trial, and then stop the car, subscribe, like, Apple 5-star review. That would be good. All right, maybe. Have a good day. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.